You're tuned into Let's Talk Up Close and Personal with Dr. Nathalie Chase Thompson and friends. Without further delay, let's get right to it.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, whatever time zone you might be in. Yes, that's my favorite opening. This is Dr. Nathalie Chase Thompson, and I would like to invite you to Let's Talk Up Close and Personal. We are going to dive right in. There's something that's been on my heart for a while, and I wonder if both men and women ever take the time to think about this. Are you valued? Do you matter? And I mean, are you really valued, and do you really matter? If you look back over your life during times when you've been married, or when you were dating, and in your own self mind, your relationships that you've been in, did you really have value and did you really matter? Did anyone fight for you? Meaning, if the relationship was being strained, or if it was on the verge of ending, or the marriage was on the verge of ending, and things have been taking place and warnings have been coming, have you actually taken the time to think about, did the person that you were with fight for you? Did they think enough of you to fight to save the relationship? Did they care enough about you to fight and work to make it better? Whether it be something in them, whether it be something in both of you, did they fight? Was there a fight put up to hold on to you? Was there a fight put up to correct the wrong? Was there a fight put up to heal the pain? Was there a fight put up, not against each other, but against the very principle of the matter that was causing the illness, that was causing the division, that was causing the strain, that was causing the hurt, that was causing the cause? Was there a fight? Has anyone ever fought for you? Or maybe the question should be, did you ever fight? Because you may be the one that never put up a fight to save the relationship, never put up the fight to save the marriage, never put up the fight to hold on to what you know you wanted, but instead you just took the easy way out and said, "Ah, that's all right, whatever, deuces, I'm done, I'm gone, have a good life." But then you find yourself repeating the same cycle over and over and over again, and you wonder why this thing keeps happening. Have you ever taken the time to think about that? Have you ever taken the time to search yourself? Because you might be the very enemy that you've been looking for. You may be the very culprit that you've been looking and searching for all this time, and not realizing the reason why you couldn't see is because you never wanted to face yourself. You never wanted to accept the fact that you may have some shortcomings. You're not this perfect, wonderful, grand person that you thought you were, but instead you had some quirks and some areas that needed to be tweaked and some areas that needed to be made whole and some areas that needed to be healed, some areas that needed to be revived and restored and broken down and rebuilt. Has anyone ever fought for you? Has anyone ever really and truly valued who you are? And you know, that could even be on a job. That could be in ministry. That could be in a family. That could be in any aspect of your life. Have you ever really been valued? Have you ever really valued yourself? Have you ever really thought enough of yourself to where, regardless of what other people may have said, thought, or how they may have treated you, you had enough dignity and enough self-respect and enough confidence in yourself and enough self-esteem within to never allow what people said about you when you knew it wasn't true, that is, to affect you, that to allow the naysayers and the venom and the daggers that were thrown, you never allowed them to penetrate because you knew who you were and you know who you are and you know whom you belong to. Didn't have time to set it up today. Didn't have time to dress it up and to give you scenarios today. Because people's lives are at stake. People's lives are, their very existence is being caught and being weighed in the balance. Children are being caught up in the midst of foolishness because adults can't get their stuff together. And they use children as pawns. Employers hold employees and associates captive because they make them feel like they can't get another job anywhere else. They're not going to be able to do better anywhere else. So you got to stay here. You don't have a choice in the matter. You got to stay here. Who else is going to handle you? You know you got this issue going on, and you know you got that issue going on. You know you have issues at home, and you don't have anybody really to get your children on time and to do this, that, and the third. So you know we've afforded you the leisure to have what we call on jobs flex time. So you still have the opportunity to make up your time. But who else is going to do that with you? Who else is going to allow you to do that? Have you ever thought, let's just use the job scenario, that the reason why they allow you to have all this flex time and they allow you to work out whatever kinks you have to work out in your personal life is because they know they're not going to find anybody that can do the job as well as you can, that can execute what needs to be done as efficient and proficient as you can? Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever flipped the script and said, wait a minute, maybe it's not about what y'all call yourself doing for me, but y'all know what I'm doing for the company. Gotta think about that thing sometimes. Because we get so hung up at times paying attention to what other people say that we don't pay attention to the nonverbal words that they're saying, the nonverbal expressions that they're giving, the nonverbal actions and motives that rest behind everything that's being done. Has anyone valued you? Has anyone acknowledged you? Has anyone fought for you? But most of all, have you valued yourself? Have you fought for yourself? Have you stood your ground? And the beautiful part about it, you don't have to do it with all this attitude. You don't have to do it with all the arrogance and you know, being haughty and high-minded. No, you can do it just as easy as you please. You can do it with so much grace and so much poise. And men, you can do it in such a way that it's just smooth as silk. You don't have to put on any airs. You can just be your true self. But be your true self in such a manner that it's just like sailing. like you're floating on a cloud. The words would just flow out of your mouth like butter. That melted butter. It's just, and like silk, it's just easy. Your body language is so relaxed and so laid back because it's like easy, man. Why? Because when God steps in and begins to heal a situation and begins to reveal a situation, begins to take the scales off your eyes and the stoppers out of your ears. And begins to release your mouth and begins to massage your heart. I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. All of the obstacles have been removed out of my way. The bad times are behind you. And it's going to be a bright and sunny day. Yeah, I might not have all the words right, but y'all, you get the gist of it. But I can see clearly now. Can you see clearly now? Can you hear now? Can you speak now? Can your heart beat normally now? Are you no longer stressed out, worn down, tired, busted, and disgusted with your own self and everybody around you? Are you relaxed? Are you relating? And are you releasing? Everything that would so easily, every weight that would so easily beset you, lay it aside, put it away, do away with it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Life is precious. Life is like a fine jewel. A priceless, rare jewel. That's how valuable your life is. Something that's not common. Something that's not found in multiples and duplication, where you can go into some warehouses and you see hundreds and thousands of the same make and model. No, 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 no. Your life is one. God only created one of you to live the span of time that you would live, to do the things that you would do, to accomplish and or fail or stumble or fall and get back up and fail and stumble and fall and get back up. And then all of a sudden you get back up and you don't stumble. You get back up and you don't fall, and failure is not an option because there's only one you. There's no point in going and looking for duplicates because there aren't any. You might even find somebody that looks sort of like you, but it's not you. May speak like you, but it's not you. It could be a sibling, but it's not you. It could be a total stranger, but it's not you. A lot of similarities, but it's not you. Even if you were to clone somebody, I don't know somebody, clone something, it still wouldn't be you. It would still be an imitation. And it would still not hold the value that you hold. It would still not be able to do the things that you do to the extent that you can, because it's not you. It would always be in the imitating and duplicating phase, but it would never be in the originating phase. It would not process. It could never originate a word or origin. It can never create as an original. It would always be a duplicate. It would always be an imitation. It would always be a replay. So why don't you stop putting yourself in third party as though you are an imitator and a duplicator and step up. So whether anybody values you, whether anybody fights for you or not, first of all, you stop allowing yourself to get caught up in that. That's the first thing. You'll stop allowing yourself to get caught up into men. Men, let's deal with men because you know it's always about women. Let's deal with men. Men, you'll stop running after everything that'll spread eagle and let you go deep sea diving. You'll stop running behind everything that look pretty. Look pretty. Look, it looks pretty. But you already see the telltale signs that something is rotten there. Something not right there. So you'll stop dealing with it and compromising and accepting it and settling for it because it looks pretty by your side. But it's killing you on the inside. Women, you'll stop allowing Dap Daddy to woo you as such, some of them with money, some of them with nice, eloquent words, saying all the right things, might not have a pot to piss in and a window to throw it at, let alone out, but can talk so well to where you'll convince yourself to be like the seven women to one man. I'll take care of you. I'll take care. The devil be damned. No, you won't. And you'll come to yourself or well, you know, he's trying and, you know, I believe I can help him become a better person. Now get the help me. There are some women that can actually help men become the best that they are, not because that man is weak and feeble, but because that man just doesn't know how to go about accomplishing that he is already setting in motion to go after. He doesn't know how to articulate it. So you may be more eloquent in speech. So therefore you can write it down. So therefore he can read it and run with it. Come on now. But you don't have to be the one that is the savior, because there's only one savior. And his name is Jesus the Christ. There's only one that I know of that can save us. There's only one that I know of that can deliver us. There's only one that I know of that can redeem us. There's only one that I know can make all things new again. There's only one that I know of that can dry your tears, that you'll never cry about that thing again, can give you joy unspeakable. And you wondering where it's coming from. There's only one. Because if we look for man or woman to give us happiness, we're going to be most miserable. If we look to the man or the woman, our children, our spouses, our family members, to make us whole, we're going to be most miserable and broken, busted, and disgusted. But when we look to the hills from which cometh our help, because all of our help cometh from the Lord that made the heavens and the earth, there will be nothing that we cannot accomplish. There will be nothing that we cannot stretch forth our hands to do in righteousness, and we cannot possess that thing. There will be nothing, and when I say not, no thing, there will be no thing that he would withhold from those that believe him, that trust in him, that seek his face. And we're not waiting to be validated. We're not waiting to be celebrated. We're not waiting to be fought for. Why? Because he fought for us. Why? Because he fought for us and he won. Why do we want somebody that we know would fight for us in the natural? Because if you'll be willing to get down in the trenches with me and go through the muck and mire and go through some hard times with me, and you're not getting nothing in return for it, but you're willing to go through it with me, then I'm willing to celebrate with you when I come up out of it. But when you're not willing to go through it with me, friend, you're not willing to go through it with me, spouse. You're not willing to go through it with me, associate. You're not willing to go with me, business partner. Go through the bad, the dark times, the lean times, but you only come around when it gets fat. You'll only come around when it gets back on track. You'll only come around when things are coming on the uphill. You can step off because you're not going to get credit for it and you're not going to celebrate and nor will you partake of it. But if you can endure this with me in the valley, you will surely be able to celebrate with me on the mountain high. You can be sure that you will celebrate when it's time to shout the victory. And the victory will be proclaimed before it's even manifested. The victory will be proclaimed and possessed before it's even tangible, because we'll be able to see it in the spirit realm, and whatsoever we loose in heaven, it'll be loosed on earth, because whatsoever we bound in heaven, it's going to be bound in earth. So therefore, if we're loosing prosperity and we're loosing joy and we're loosing peace and we're loosing life and we're loosing the principles and the statutes of God in and for our lives, and we're rehearsing it back into our hearing and we're rehearsing it back into his hearing, you can't win. I'm sorry. Yes, you will. But people will say, you can't win with that. You can't do that. You just talking and it makes no sense because nothing is really happening. I don't see anything that you're saying. Well, guess what? You don't have to see it to believe it. You haven't seen Jesus, but you believe in it. Some children haven't seen the tooth fairy, but they believe in it, and it's not real. You are the tooth fairy, and you Christmas too. Hello, you birthday, you the birthday giver too. But you know, hey, but children believe that this person comes and the tooth fairy flies in and leaves something under the pillow for him and all this other stuff. They believe that stuff. But whose report will you believe? I choose to believe the report of the Lord. Whose testimony will you stand upon? The one that's giving you a secondhand testimony that might be adding, subtracting, multiplying, or dividing, or from the mouths of the ones that have gone through and they're on the other side of victory. Whose report will you believe? Will you believe a person is always starting to do something, but they never complete it? They never follow it through? Will you follow a person that's always starting something, but they never follow it through to the end? Will you follow someone that always starts something and get almost there, but stop? The spirit of almost, almost, almost. I almost finished it. I almost did it. I almost won. I almost completed it. I almost got to the door. I almost. Well, guess what? It was 10 virgins, right? 5 foolish and 5 wise. The 5 wise had already trimmed their ladder. Everything was right. Everything was set. So when the bridegroom came, they were ready to enter in. But them 5 foolish, I almost got everything together. I almost finished everything. But when the bridegroom came, they had to run and try and get some. And they almost made it back. But guess what? They didn't. And it was not predicated on those that had their lanterns trimmed. They wanted to ask them, why would I give you something? If I give you what I got, then I won't have enough. But you know, that's what they tell us. You're supposed to do this. You're supposed to sacrifice and you're supposed to share. Not if it's going to cost you your life. Not if it's going to cost you your soul. No, ma'am. No, sir. Don't be no fool for nobody, including your own self, and especially your heart. No, ma'am, no, sir. So what are we doing? What are we doing? You might look around and you might see somebody that used to be living in charge. I mean, large and in charge. And now you see them, they're homeless. And you wonder what's going on. You can go ask them. You might be surprised. They may actually be holding the key to keep you from doing the same thing. Or you can go ask them, and you may be the catalyst to help bring them back. But because nobody ever stopped to ask them, nobody ever stopped to do anything to help. Nobody ever stopped to tell them they did matter. Nobody ever stopped to tell them they were doing a good job. So they just went and hung their heart in the tree and went and sat and just wept until they just withered away. Riding up the street and seeing all these homeless people, and a few of them had tents, but majority of them were living out there with piles of clothes and of things because that's all they had. I said, God, what can we do? So within this last 2 minutes, I'm going to put a plea out to you. If you can find it in your heart to send a donation, I'm not going to put a money amount, a dollar amount on it, because I might say one thing, God may act, may tell you to do something different. And because I said one thing, you want to limit yourself and limit your blessing. So I'm not going to do that. But what I will say, whatever you find yourself able to do, I'm asking you to donate. Donate to Op Faith. We're going to buy tents. We're going to buy blankets. We're going to buy things of necessity. And we're going to give them out, yes, here in Jacksonville. But guess what? We can even do this right where you are. If you're in Milwaukee, we can do it there. If you're in Miami, we can do it there. If you're in Tennessee, we can do it there. It doesn't matter. But we can come together and we can do this. And I'm going to ask you to send your donation. You can cash app it to Op Faith, O-P. F-A-I-T. It's for Operation Faith Transition Transportation and Redevelopment Program. O-P-F-A-I-T-H. $. The Venmo is the same thing. $OPFAITH for Cash App and Op Faith for Venmo. But you can also go to opfaith.org and sow your seed. We just need your help. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, so all your tax deductions, all your donations are tax deductible. We need your help. You might not be willing to go out. We are. We crazy like that. We believe God like that. We're not going to go out unprotected, but we believe in God for that. We're still doing one mission. Feeding families. We're still sending groceries to families. Don't consider it being, I ain't got nothing to do with that. I can't do that, because it could be you at any given moment. So until next week, for Let's Talk Up Close and Personal, think about those things. Act upon those things. Be true to yourself regarding those things. And if you know that you are the one that has not been giving the love and giving the appreciation, make it right. And if you realize that you're the one that has not been receiving it, make it right. Six of one, half a dozen of the other. Either way it go, make it right. And if you are able, willing and able, I know you're able, deny yourself of a coffee, something of that nature, and sow a seed. But until next week, God bless you. God keep you. Be safe and be well is my prayer. Until next week, love you. Peace out.
Thank you for tuning in to Let's Talk Up Close and Personal with Dr. Nathalie Chase Thompson and Friends. Be sure to tune in next week right here on Praise 107.9 for more raw, uncut, and to-the-point conversation. To contact Dr. Thompson, please visit ltucnp.com or call 904-418-8611.